Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Supreme Command Soldiers, Statesmen and Leadership in Wartime is a Political Science and Military History Study by Elliot A. Cohen that examines how democratic leaders should exercise authority during war, rather than treating civil-military relations as a simple division of labor, in which politicians set goals and generals execute them. The book argues that wartime leadership works best when civilian leaders remain actively involved in strategy, operations, and oversight. Cohen develops this case through close historical analysis of Abraham Lincoln, Georges Clemenceau, Winston Churchill, and David Ben-Gurion, showing how each engaged forcefully with military commanders. The book is both a critique of conventional theories of civilian control and a practical argument about leadership under pressure. It is aimed at readers interested in strategy, defense policy, statecraft, and the responsibilities of elected leaders in wartime. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why Cohen rejects the hands-off model of civil-military relations. The central intervention of the book is its challenge to the familiar idea that civilian leaders should define political goals and then leave military professionals alone to run the war. Cohen argues that this approach misunderstands how strategy actually develops in democratic wartime settings, where political ends and military means constantly interact. His position is not that politicians should micromanage every tactical move, but that they must remain engaged enough to question assumptions, press for alternatives, and correct drift between policy and operations. This is what gives the book its argumentative force. It treats war as a politically directed enterprise in which civilian leaders cannot abdicate responsibility once fighting begins. By pushing against the passive model associated with orthodox civil-military theory, Cohen reframes interference not as a defect in principle, but as a potential source of strategic discipline. The result is a more demanding standard for statesmanship, one that expects leaders to understand military issues well enough to supervise them intelligently. Secondly, how Lincoln, Clemenceau, Churchill, and Ben-Gurion illustrate active wartime leadership. Cohen grounds his argument in four case studies of democratic leaders who were deeply involved in wartime decision-making. Abraham Lincoln used persistent questioning and organizational pressure to shape Union strategy during the Civil War. Georges Clemenceau asserted strong civilian direction in France during World War I. Winston Churchill frequently involved himself in strategic debate and pushed military leaders to reconsider their assumptions during World War II. David Ben-Gurion played a similarly active role in the formative wars of Israel, insisting on civilian authority over military planning. These examples matter because they are not treated as simple heroic biographies. Instead, they serve as evidence that effective wartime statesmanship often depends on sustained, informed intervention. Cohen uses the cases comparatively, showing that although the leaders differed in temperament and context, each refused to treat military command as an autonomous sphere. The book therefore argues that successful wartime leadership is not accidental meddling, but a pattern visible in major democratic conflicts. Thirdly, strategy as an ongoing conversation between political ends and military means. A major theme of the book is that strategy is not a one-time directive, but a continuing process of negotiation between civilian authority and military expertise. Cohen suggests that wars evolve too quickly and too unpredictably for a leader to issue broad aims and then disappear from the scene. Civilian leaders must keep testing whether military plans still serve political objectives, while generals must adapt operations to fit changing national priorities. This makes Supreme Command less about hierarchy in the narrow sense than about disciplined engagement across institutional boundaries. Cohen is especially interested in moments when civilian leaders ask uncomfortable questions, revisit plans, or force reconsideration of costly assumptions. Such intervention can improve strategic clarity by preventing military professionals from defining success too narrowly in operational terms. The book therefore presents leadership as an iterative process, political purpose, military execution, and revision in light of battlefield realities. That dynamic view distinguishes the book from more rigid theories of command and control. Fourthly, a critique of professional autonomy and the temptation of military deference. Cohen also examines the dangers that arise when civilian leaders defer too readily to military authority. In his view, democratic states often drift toward excessive respect for professional expertise, especially during war, when the stakes seem too high for political hesitation. That deference can produce strategic passivity, where elected leaders accept military recommendations without sufficiently testing whether they align with national goals. The book shows why this is risky. Military institutions are designed to win battles and campaigns, but they do not automatically define the broader political purpose for which a war is fought. Cohen does not deny that officers possess essential expertise. Instead, he argues that expertise must be subjected to civilian judgment, because only elected leaders can weigh military choices against diplomacy, public support, alliances, and long-term political consequences. This is one reason the book remains relevant to modern democratic governance. It warns that respect for professionalism becomes a liability when it turns into intellectual surrender by the civilian side. Lastly, what the book contributes to modern leadership, not just military theory. Although the book is rooted in civil-military relations, its significance reaches beyond defense studies. Cohen presents wartime leadership as a broader test of judgment, courage, and institutional discipline, making the book useful for policymakers, scholars, military officers, and readers interested in leadership under extreme pressure. Its practical lesson is that responsibility cannot be outsourced when the consequences are national and existential. Leaders must ask hard questions, remain informed, and be willing to challenge expert consensus when necessary. At the same time, the book is analytically valuable because it combines historical narrative with political argument, rather than relying only on abstract theory or anecdote. That combination helps explain why the book is often treated as a classic in its field. It does not merely defend civilian control in principle. It specifies what effective civilian control looks like in real wartime conditions. Readers come away with a sharper understanding of how democratic leaders can shape military success without abandoning constitutional authority or strategic judgment. In conclusion, Supreme Command is best suited for readers who want a serious account of wartime leadership rather than a simplified theory of command. Military professionals, policymakers, students of history, and anyone interested in how democratic governments conduct war will find it especially valuable. Its main benefit is that it changes the way civil-military relations are understood. Instead of celebrating distance between politicians and generals, it argues for informed, assertive civilian engagement. That makes the book both intellectually challenging and practically useful. It helps readers think about responsibility, oversight, and the limits of expertise in situations where political and military decisions cannot be separated. What sets it apart from many books in the same field is its combination of historical case studies, political analysis, and a clear normative claim about leadership. Cohen does not merely describe what happened in past wars. He uses those examples to defend a durable model of democratic statesmanship. For readers seeking a foundational work on strategy, civilian control, and wartime decision-making, it remains one of the most distinctive books in the genre. If you would like to support Elliot A. Cohen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.